The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from 9to5mac.com, posted April 28th. Public service announcement. Atomic Mac OS Stealer malware can be compromise iCloud keychain passwords, credit cards, and crypto wallets. Article by Michael Potuck. Back in March, we saw a piece of malware surface for Mac OS called Mac Stealer that's able to compromise iCloud keychain passwords, credit card information, files, and more. Now, a new malware called Atomic Mac OS Stealer is being sold as a service to malicious parties that may be more threatening. This year, we've seen a report from Malwarebytes covering the state of malware on Mac, as well as another study from Elastic Security Labs. In the latter, results showed just 6% of all malware impacted Macs. But even though it's more likely to affect Windows and Linux, threat actors are actively designing malware specifically for Mac OS, and it's important to stay diligent. With the Mac Stealer malware that we saw in March, it indeed was powerful, but is likely a lower risk overall because Mac OS Gatekeeper should block it from being installed. Cybel Research and Intelligence Labs, that's CYBLE, via Mac Rumors, recently found the new Atomic Mac OS Stealer, AMOS, malware, as it was advertised for sale on Telegram. The threat actor marketing it is regularly updating the malware and is charging $1,000 a month for it. Notably, Cybel didn't mention Mac OS Gatekeeper as offering protection for the new Mac AMOS in its technical analysis, so it could prove more dangerous than Mac Stealer. What can Atomic Mac OS Stealer, AMOS, do? If installed, AMOS can compromise a long list of items, including iCloud keychain passwords, the Mac OS system password, cookies, passwords, and credit card details from Chrome, Firefox, Brave, Edge, Opera, and more. It can also compromise crypto wallets, including Atomic, Binance, Exodus, Electrum, MetaMask, and many more. The malicious party selling the malware as a service also includes a web panel, Brute MetaMask tool, logs in Telegram with notifications, and more to buyers. There's a screenshot of the threat the actor is pitching the malware on Telegram. Atomic Mac OS Stealer system. Keychain, export all passwords from the Apple Keychain. System info, full information about system. File grabber, desktop and documents, Mac OS password, browsers, Chrome, autofills, passwords, cookies, wallets, cards, Firefox, autofills, cookies, Brave, cookies, passwords, autofills, wallets, cards, Edge, cookies, passwords, autofills, wallets, cards, Vivaldi, cookies, passwords, autofills, wallets, cards, Yandex, cookies, autofills, wallets, cards, Opera, cookies, passwords, autofills, wallets, cards. Opera GX, cookies, passwords, autofills, wallets, cards. Wallets and plugins. Electrum, Binance, Exodus, Atomic, Coinomi, and over 60 plugins like MetaMask, Phantom, and others. Features, web panel, Brute MetaMask seed private key, crypto checker, beautiful DMG installer, logs in Telegram, logs plus notification. Current price $1,000 per month. End of screenshot. After the malware compromises a user's information, it compresses the data into a zip file and sends it back to the malicious party through a CNC service URL. Cybel has a detailed breakdown of how the malware works in its post on the hot link. How to stay protected against AMOS and other malware. Cybel also shared a reminder about best practices when it comes to installing apps and broader security habits. While you probably know these, it might be helpful to remind friends and family. Download and install software only from the official Apple App Store. Use a reputed antivirus and internet security software package on your system. Use strong passwords and enforce multi-factor authentication wherever possible. Enable biometric security features such as fingerprint or facial recognition for unlocking your device whenever possible. Be wary of opening any links received via emails delivered to you. Be careful while enabling any permissions. Keep your devices, operating systems, and applications updated. How to check your Mac for malware. If you're curious to do a checkup on your Mac to make sure there's no malware or adware, Malwarebytes offers a free app for individuals to find and remove it. That's spelled Malwarebytes. We use income-earning auto-affiliate links. And there's more at the hot link about that from Mac 925. From ACB.org, on Tuesday, April 29th, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the LabCorp versus Davis case. ACB has intimately been involved with this case from the beginning. The case was brought to ensure that LabCorp provide accessible check-in systems for blind and low-vision customers. The company and other phlebotomy laboratory companies like it have in recent years eliminated receptionists and now require patients to sign in on inaccessible tablets. The appeal addresses a complex legal issue related to certification of class actions. The final decision could impact how other civil rights and ADA cases are brought in the future. The attorney ACB has worked with on this case and many others, Matt Handley, will attend the oral arguments, that was last Tuesday, and report back to staff on how it went. Anyone can listen to the oral arguments at the link below. It is likely, and it probably did, begin around 11 a.m. Eastern Time. https://www.supremecourt.gov/oral_arguments/live.aspx. That was posted April 28th. Also posted on ACB on April 22nd, potential funding cuts to disability programs. We know that those are a reality. It is rumored and proven out that several disability and aging programs in Washington, D.C. are facing funding cuts. The programs include the protection and advocacy programs, councils on developmental disabilities, and long-term care ombudsman. The National Disability Rights Network, NDRN, has created a call to action to enable constituents to reach out to their congresspeople and ask them to protect the necessary funding. To reach out to your representatives and senators, please follow the link below, https://secure.everyactiondot.com/capital I 6AV capital R 5 capital L capital S V capital U AM capital W D capital N capital Z capital N capital I G capital M E W number 2. On April 24th, the ACB received this message from our contact at the FAA. Dear advocates, I am pleased to announce that the Department's Office of Aviation Consumer Protection will launch the first phase of the Aviation Complaint Enforcement and Reporting System, ACERS, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, August 1st, 2025. The first phase of ACERS will focus solely on the complaint submission and handling process. ACERS will make it easy for consumers to file air travel service complaints. Consumers will be able to easily select the areas of concern, for example, disability, refunds, flight cancellations, and provide a narrative containing specific details about their complaint. ACERS will also provide airlines and ticket agents real-time access to air travel service complaints, comments, and compliments filed by consumers. Further, ACERS will enable our office to better spot trends in areas of concern and ensure that airline passengers are treated fairly. We look forward to working with you as we prepare to go live with first phase of ACERS in August. Regards, signed BLANE, Blaine A. Workie, W-O-R-K-I-E. AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind, is issuing a call for speakers and presentations for their AFBLC 2025 American Foundation for the Blind Leadership Conference. Are you interested in sharing your expertise with leaders in the field of blindness and low vision at AFB's 2025 Leadership Conference, AFBLC? Join us on November 12 to 14, 2025 at the Crystal Gateway Marriott Hotel in Crystal City, Virginia. Learn more at the Hot Lake, which I am pressing. Join us at this year's AFB Leadership Conference, Leading Together, Leveraging Change to Advance Our Vision. As we come together to harness the momentum of a dynamic and rapidly shifting landscape, united in our shared vision of shaping a future of endless possibilities for people who are blind or have low vision. About the conference. Featuring a rich history of fostering innovation and empowerment, the AFB Leadership Conference serves as a pivotal platform to convene corporations, advocacy groups, government representatives, and the blind and low vision community as we work together to shape the future of inclusion. Through insightful discussions, interactive workshops, and collaborative sessions, the 2025 Leadership Conference will delve into topics including leadership and change strategy and navigating the digital revolution, providing attendees with the knowledge and resources to lead change within the blindness and low vision field and beyond. Types of proposals accepted. We invite proposals for various types of presentations, including but not limited to research presentations, workshops, panel discussions, case studies, demonstrations, interactive sessions. Topics of interest. Track 1, Leadership and Change Strategy. This track will provide breakout sessions intended to foster collaboration and strengthen leadership within the field of blindness and low vision. In our rapidly changing world, it is critical to gain knowledge and shared consensus on navigating dominant themes that will establish the roadmap for advancing opportunity and inclusion for people who are blind or have low vision. Sessions will feature leaders and scholars from the field. Track 2, Navigating the Digital Revolution. This track will focus on understanding and harnessing the rapidly expanding digital revolution that stands before us all. From the impact of artificial intelligence to leading technologies that advance opportunity and equality, sessions will bring together leading voices from industry, advocates, and thought leaders with a focus on advancing our shared vision. Submission guidelines. Proposals should be submitted via the Proposal Submission Google form at the Hot Link. Please include the following information in your proposal. Title of proposed session. Presenters' names, affiliations, and contact information. Abstract, maximum 250 words. Types of presentation. See above for types of proposals accepted. Brief bio of presenter, max 150 words per bio. Proposals must be submitted in the Google form by Friday, May 16, 2025, 2 weeks from now. For consideration, notification of acceptance will be sent no later than Monday, June 16, 2025. Presenters selected will be responsible for all expenses, including travel, hotel accommodations, and meals, and will receive half off of the general conference registration rate. Submit your proposal at the Hot Link. Contact information. For inquiries regarding proposal submissions, please contact communications@afb.org. We look forward to receiving your proposal and to your participation in the 2025 AFB Leadership Conference. From FightingBlindness.org, Investing in Cures Summit. Collaboration is driving development of the next treatments and cures for retinal degenerative diseases. The Foundation Fighting Blindness and the Retinal Degeneration Fund, RD Fund, hosted their annual Investing in Cures Summit, ICS, on March 21st and 22nd, 2025 in Tampa, to highlight the strong progress in development of treatments and cures for the entire spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases. ICS convened nearly 200 stakeholders, including researchers, companies, investors, donors, and families, who heard from 36 presenters about the accelerating advancement of therapy-focused research to save and restore vision for millions affected by inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, and age-related macular degeneration, AMD. As we stand at the forefront of transformative progress in the development of treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, the work of the Foundation and the RD Fund has never been more critical, said Karen Petrou, P-E-T-R-O-U, chair of the Foundation's Board of Directors. This summit served as a testament to the power of collaboration that has enabled the Foundation and the retinal disease community to reach this promising juncture. Through thoughtful dialogue, strategic partnerships, and shared insights, we are forging the path forward to new discoveries and improved outcomes for the blind and low vision community. Friday dinner keynote address, The Drug Development Journey. Jerry Cagle, Ph.D., Senior Vice President Emeritus, Alcon, R&D. Dr. Cagle, a renowned scientist with more than three decades of ophthalmology drug development experience at Alcon, delivered an insightful primer on the therapy development process for the Friday pre-conference dinner. His presentation provided the ideal background for understanding and appreciating the dozens of therapies in development, discussed the next day at ICS. His key takeaway, therapy development is never a slam dunk. It can take as long as 20 years, sometimes longer, for a potential treatment to be discovered, tested in cell and or animal models, evaluated for safety in a large animal, and then moved into a clinical trial. He noted that 87% of the cost of therapy development is for clinical trials. If an emerging therapy performs safely and efficaciously in the human trial, the sponsoring company submits a new drug application, NDA. A 10,000-page document telling the story of the drug's developmental journey to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration or another regulatory agency. Biologic license applications, or BLAs, are submitting for gene or cell therapies, for instance, therapies that are derived from living sources. His presentation on the challenges underscored the remarkable progress being made for retinal disease therapy development with 50 clinical trials now underway. Chad Jackson, Ph.D., Senior Director of the Foundation's Preclinical Translational Research Program, served as the ICSMC extraordinaire on Saturday with Jason Menzo, the Foundation's Chief Executive Officer, providing opening remarks. Menzo underscored ICS's goal of bringing together the many participants in the therapy development ecosystem to share their knowledge, experience, and perspectives. No single group can advance the field by itself, said Menzo. We are here at ICS for the unique opportunity to learn, grow, and connect. Rusty Kelly, Ph.D., MBA, Managing Director of the RD Fund, the Foundation's venture philanthropy arm, discussed the RD Fund's role in mitigating risk for clinical development of emerging therapies for IRDs and dry AMD. The RD Fund invests in companies developing emerging therapies that are near or in early-stage clinical trials, a stage characterized by high risk that most investors are reluctant to fund. As a philanthropic fund, returns are invested back into retinal research. Since its inception in 2018, the RD Fund, with its exceptional team of scientific advisors and Foundation Fighting Blindness clout, has attracted significant venture capital investment for its portfolio companies. The RD Fund itself has deployed $86 million for investments in 17 companies. Those investments have impressively attractive $850 million from 45 venture firms. Dr. Kelly noted that RD Fund portfolio companies have collectively achieved 33 regulatory and clinical milestones thus far, including the launch of 11 clinical trials with a few additional trials expected to start this calendar year. Many of these companies have secured orphan drug designations, rare pediatric disease designations, and fast-track approvals, all of which are critical to rare disease therapeutic development. We have a hyper-focused strategy that leverages an outstanding board of directors and the Foundation's Scientific Advisory Board to help select and diversify our portfolio investments, said Dr. Kelly. This is a powerful model. A multiplier effect occurs when the fund and philanthropic partners converge with the great science and our industry and investment partners. Amy Laster, L-A-S-T-E-R, Ph.D., The chief scientific officer at the foundation provided an overview of the numerous impressive achievements of the foundation over the past 5 years, which included $105 million in funding for 120 grants at prominent research institutions around the world. Some of those dollars funded career development awards, CDAs, for up-and-coming clinical researchers to further their careers and keep them in the challenging inherited retina disease field. Historically, 90% of CDA recipients have remained in IRD clinical research. Foundation funding also drove the development of human retinal organoids, for instance, retinas in a dish, which have emerged as an invaluable tool for understanding disease pathways and screening emerging treatments. Dr. Laster also noted the foundation's funding for clinical development of dual vector gene therapies to address the challenge of large gene delivery. Multiple companies now have dual vector genetic therapies for IRDs in or approaching clinical trials. In recent years, the foundation has boosted investment in several natural history studies, NHSs, to identify new endpoints for evaluating therapies in clinical trials. The largest of these NHSs is UniRare, UNI-RARE, which is enrolling 1,500 IRD patients affected by a vast majority of the mutated genes associated with conditions. Looking toward the future, the foundation is strongly focused on clinical trial endpoint development, led by the regulatory endpoints and trial design for IRDs, READI, REDI, working group, which was established by the foundation in collaboration with researchers and industry to develop new clinical trial endpoints for emerging IRD therapies that can be validated by the FDA. The goal is to boost the chances that future therapies will move through trials successfully and gain FDA approval. Dr. Laster said that new priorities include the development of new IRD animal and cellular models and improving the understanding and controlling of inflammation associated with retinal gene therapies. Advancements in IRD gene therapy. From the bench to the clinic moderator, Catherine High. From the bench to the clinic, moderator Catherine High, MD, Chief Executive Officer of RYGAZE, RHYGAZE. Dr. High opened the gene therapy panel session by reflecting on the challenges in development of Luxturnao, the first FDA-approved gene therapy for the eye or any inherited condition. Dr. High and Jean Bennett, MD, PhD, co-founded Spark Therapeutics, a spin-out of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP, which commercialized the landmark vision-restoring gene therapy for people with Leber congenital amaurosis, LCA, or retinitis pigmentosa, RP, caused by biallelic mutations in RPE65. She said that while vision improvements for most clinical trial participants were dramatic, the team needed to develop a new clinically meaningful endpoint, a maze called the Multiluminance Mobility Test, MLMT, for approval of the gene therapy by the FDA. Dr. High thanked the foundation for funding trial equipment and genetic testing for trial participants. The foundation also provided $10 million in funding for preclinical research that helped move the gene therapy that became Luxturna into a clinical trial. Jayashree Sahni, that's Jayashree Sahni, MD, PhD, Chief Medical Officer at AvantGarde Bio, AavantGarde, reviewed her company's emerging IRD gene therapies designed specifically for delivery of large IRD genes. The company, a spin-out of the Telethon Institute of Genetic Medicine out of Italy, was founded by Alberto Auricchio, that's A-U-R-R-I-C-H-I-O, M.D., a longtime recipient of research grants from the foundation. The company has moved its dual-vector adeno-associated virus, AAV, into a Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial for Usher syndrome type 1b, USH1b, which is caused by mutations in the gene MYO7A. The MYO7A genes are delivered in two halves and recombined in targeted cells. The company is planning a clinical trial of its dual AAV vector gene therapy for Stargardt disease, ABCA4 mutations, which employs protein trans splicing, connecting to protein halves. to overcome the large gene delivery challenge. Ash Jayagopal, Jayagopal, PhD, MBA, Chief Scientific at Optus Genetics, said the company was founded to provide a sustainable engine for development of IRD gene therapies, overcoming barriers for advancing them into clinical trials. The company currently has 7 programs. Its most advanced program is a gene therapy for LCA5, currently in a Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial. The emerging gene therapy was originally developed by Gene Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, MD, PhD. The condition causes early, severe vision loss. Results have been reported for 3 adults thus far in the LCA5 trial, with restoration of clinically meaningful vision improvements on up to 5 measures, including visual function as captured by a virtual reality VR assessment. The trial has begun dosing kids. Opus is also planning to launch a clinical trial in the second half of 2025 for people with IRDs caused by mutations in the BEST1 gene. The foundation launched Opus in 2021 and funded preclinical research for both LCA5 and BEST1. Opus was launched by the foundation and is currently an investment in the RD Fund portfolio. Kenji Fujita, F-U-J-I-T-A, MD, Chief Medical Officer at Atsena Therapeutics, reviewed the company's 2 clinical stage IRD gene therapy programs. The most advanced program is moving into a Phase 3 clinical trial for people with LCA1, GUCY2. Nippon Shinyaku, S-H-I-N-Y-A-K-U, has acquired a commercial license in U.S. and Japan for the LCA1 gene therapy. High-dose patients in the LCA1 Phase 1 and 2 had robust improvements in photoreceptor sensitivity, as measured by full-field sensitivity testing, and in their ability to navigate an MLMT. Dr. Fujita also reviewed early results for Atsena's Phase 1 and 2 gene therapy clinical trial for X-linked retinoschisis, XLRS, which is caused by mutations in RS1. 9 adult patients were dosed in Part A of the XLRS Phase 1 and 2. Resolution of the retinal layer splitting associated with XLRS was reported for the first few participants. 9 adult and 3 pediatric are now being dosed in Part B. The XLRS gene therapy uses a specially designed AAV delivery system, AAV.SPR, to deliver healthy copies of RS1. The gene therapy spreads laterally across a larger area of retina than other AAV systems and can reach the fragile fovea, which is crucial for sharp central vision. The foundation provides 13 years of research funding to Atsena co-founder Shannon Boye, B-O-Y-E, Ph.D., for gene therapy development. Atsena is an RD Fund portfolio company. There were many more presenters with recaps of their research at the sessions, but I ran out of time. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call at 919-832-5138.